You are listening to the Ron Burgundy Podcast on wherever podcasts are available. And I, of course, am your host, Ron Burgundy. As per usual, I am joined by my producer, Carolina. Carolina, how was your weekend?
You mean last weekend? This past weekend?
Yes. Yes, how was your weekend?
It was fine, from what I remember.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you seem to be thrown by the question. Should I not have asked you how your weekend was?
No, it's just that it's Wednesday, and most people ask each other on Monday how their weekend was. Uh-huh. They don't wait till Wednesday. Now it's like 5 days ago.
I know, but I didn't see you on Monday. So I'm just asking you today, how was your weekend?
Oh, no, it was good.
So, wait, hold on, I'm sorry. So I take it from what you're saying, it's a crime if... You know, you ask someone how their weekend was on a Wednesday?
No, Ron, stop exaggerating. I mean, of course it's not a crime. It's just that if you wait until Wednesday to ask someone how their weekend was, it just may take some time for that person to recall everything they did.
Well, I'm sorry. You're wrong. I just don't buy that. You know, the weekend was only 2 days ago or five days. I mean,
yeah. You're counting from Friday.
Yeah. It was only... I mean, go ahead. Ask me how my weekend was.
Oh, okay. Ron, how was your weekend?
It was great, Carolina. I had a great weekend. Thank you for asking.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. What did you do?
What did I do? Well, let's see. What did I do? I went to the place. Yes. I went to the place where you buy food. So...
Do you mean a restaurant?
I did that. No. The place where the food is sold. In the building. You know, with the rows of food.
You mean a grocery store?
Yes, a grocery store. So that was good.
Did you do anything else? Just went to the grocery store?
No. I did a lot of things. It was the weekend. I was rushed to that place where everyone goes. What's the place where everyone goes? At all times of the day, it can be in the middle of the night as well. It's like an around-the-clock place, and it's super busy, and there are doctors, and there's a lot of commotion and shouting.
Okay, I think the emergency
room? Yes.
What's the emergency room?
Yes, I went to the emergency room because it turns out I had been bitten repeatedly by...
Oh, my God.
A... Oh, come on, Ron. What are they called?
Oh, did you get bitten a dog?
No. No, smaller than that.
Okay.
And they don't have fur.
Okay, a bird.
No, come on.
Well.
Help me out here. No, they're long. They're long and they don't have feathers.
You're bitten by a snake.
A snake, yes. That's it. Yes. Yes, I had gone for a hike and I sat on a rattlesnake. When I came back to my car, I sat on a rattlesnake who was sunning himself in my car seat, and I had to take some stuff. Oh, for God's sake, what's the medicine that stops the rattlesnake poison from getting into your eyeballs?
Anti-venom?
Yes, anti-venom. And they injected it into my eyeball.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. They injected it into your eyeball? Because let me guess, the snake bit you in the eye.
Over and over again. Repeatedly, yes.
So, Ron, you were taken to the emergency room because you sat on a rattlesnake who then repeatedly bit you in the face and eyeballs? And this was over this past weekend?
Yes, exactly. And that was my weekend.
You see, you're having trouble remembering this. It kind of proves my point. This is a life-altering event. And even though it's only Wednesday, you're not remembering. That.
You're absolutely right. Point taken. Huh. So the bottom line is, if it is Wednesday or beyond, don't ask someone how their weekend was. I get it. I get it now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Wednesday, borderline, don't ask. Monday, Tuesday, fine. You're within the zone. How was your weekend?
Totally.
Wednesday, maybe not, but by Thursday, Friday, how was your weekend?
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Because you've already gone way, you've shot way past.
I would try, how was your night last night?
Because Thursday, Friday, it's going to get confusing because it's going to be like, how was your weekend? Like, you mean my weekend coming up?
You can always just say, how are you?
That's so boring, though.
Yeah, or, you know, what are you up to today?
Yeah, I guess. But what if, here's the problem. What if it's Thursday, and I've seen this person Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I just keep forgetting to ask them how their weekend was, and I legitimately wanted to know how their weekend was. Do I just, I know what. I would sit them down and go, hey, I know it's Thursday, and I remembered you having a big weekend last week, and I know it's 4 days since the weekend,
right?
But could you go back and just tell me how your weekend was?
I mean, that just seems
that's
intense.
It. That's it. I figured it out.
Okay.
Good. Thank you, Carolina.
I mean, yeah, you're welcome.
Shakespeare.
What?
Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
Tower of London.
England.
Fish and chips.
Okay, we're doing England.
The English language. What do all these things have in common? That's right. They came from England. Is that what you said, Carolina?
Yeah, I didn't know what was happening. Okay.
I find England and all things English to be utterly fascinating. And thusly, I have chosen England as the topic of today's show. We've all studied England in the history books, and much of it is embedded in our brains. And yet some facets of England are as mysterious as the secrets contained in the famous pagan structure known as Stonehenge. Over the centuries, many groups of people have ruled over the island nation. Whether it was the Vikings, the Visigoths, the Romans, the Normans, or Norman Lear, someone has always been knocking on England's door. Finally, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table said, enough is enough. They kicked everyone out, gave Henry VIII a turkey leg, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Wait, we didn't get that. What did you say?
The rest, as they say, is history.
Okay, the rest is history. We got it.
Now's a good time to go take a pee-pee. We got to take a commercial break.
Okay.
Today we are so fortunate to be joined by two people who are actual subjects of the Commonwealth, so we can take a deeper dive into all things England. We're going to start with you, if you don't mind, and would you please tell the listeners your name?
Hello, my name is Adrian, and thank you for having me.
Well, Adrian, thank you for taking time to join us here on the Ron Burgundy Podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Carolina.
Hi, nice to meet you.
And let me start by asking you this. When you think of England, what comes to mind?
You know, I think of so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
I think of the birthplace of constitutional monarchy.
Right.
I think of industrial revolution, colonialism.
Yes.
One of the greatest empires the world has ever seen, and then the fall of that empire.
Sure.
England has made, I mean, astounding contributions to literature and music and technology and the rule of law. I mean, the list really is endless.
It really is. It really is. It's a fascinating place, a fascinating culture. Was London home to you?
No, I wish. When I was younger, you know, we were lucky enough to visit London.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And later I did go to university there, so I feel like I know it well.
Interesting. So you didn't live in London. Where did you grow up?
Auckland.
Okay. And where is Auckland?
It's in the North Island.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's right. I knew that. I love the North Island.
Ron? I mean, sorry, never mind. Keep going.
Love it. I love the North Island. It's beautiful there.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yes. And let's see, I've been there.
Oh, you have? You've been? That's great.
I took the train. Took the train from London, and it's beautiful countryside. It's just gorgeous.
There's no train from London.
Well, sure there is. Yes, because I took it right into Auckland Station. I took it from Paddington, and I bought the ticket, and I said straight to Auckland. So.
Well, you know, the distance technically from London to Auckland, it's actually 11,000 miles.
11th. Wait, what part of England are you from?
Well, I'm not from any part of England. I'm from New Zealand.
You've got to be kidding me. Carolina.
Sorry, this is actually I just found her in the hallway and she sounded really British.
Well, I actually can't blame you at all. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's
sorry. We're just going to turn off your mic and then you can get out of here. Okay?
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Now, I'll turn my attention to you over here. What is your name and are you from England?
My name's Bea, and yes, I am from England.
Okay, great.
Hi, Bea.
Hello.
Hi, Bea. This is Carolina. Did you know the other woman who was in here?
I've never seen that woman before.
Okay. Did you know she was not English?
Absolutely.
Really?
Not English.
You're not just saying that.
No, she sounded nothing like an English person.
It's like how a deer knows that a dog is not a deer.
I guess. Sounds crazy to me. What? Where do you live now? Do you still live in England or do you just visit?
I live in Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
I get back to England probably every year, stock up on Yorkshire tea essentials.
Uh-huh. Very good. And what part of England is that exactly?
So Yorkshire is in the north of England, and I'm from a city called Bradford.
Ooh. Bradford. Hmm. Bradford.
Some fun
yes.
city to celebrate Christmas in.
Is it? It's extra Christmassy there. It's got to be.
It's not known for festivities.
Oh. Are you guys against Christmas?
Not anti-Christmas.
Is there a war on Christmas there in Brentford?
Bradford.
Bradford, yes.
I guess it gets a little festive. It's a mixing pot of cultures, so we celebrate anything and everything.
Right. Wonderful. Wonderful. How would you describe the English accent?
Well, I think there's about 150 different English dialects. So
there can't be.
I genuinely
has someone
think
done a study,
that's
or are you
fact.
Just making that up? No, but seriously, how many dialects?
Well, let's say 160.
Oh, well, you can't go up.
I think on last check on Google, it was 160. I'm very interested in this kind of thing because my dialect's quite unusual. You
right.
might think it just sounds a little bit confusing. That's because, you know, when you're from England, you could live like a mile away from someone and sound completely different.
Right. Well, and do you often get mistaken for being from New Zealand?
Yes, I get mistaken for New Zealand, Australian, South African. I've been asked if English is my first language.
And it is.
It absolutely
okay.
is, being from England.
Yes.
Right.
Right, 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 of course. Yes. Yes.
Kind of invented it.
We get it.
Carolina, what were you going to say?
Oh, I actually was going to ask if English was your first language.
Yeah. So. And it's always been your first language?
Always.
Do you know any other languages? Do you know New Zealand?
I haven't studied New Zealand. It's not a language. It's just a dialect.
Because they speak English.
Yes.
In New Zealand.
Yes.
Our first guest really threw me. Really threw me. And I'm sorry for not being professional. But thank you for hanging in there with us.
Today's been rough.
Let me ask you this. Why is English food so bad? Huh. I mean, I happen to like it, but for a lot of people, they say, you've heard the old saying, I'm sure, if you're going to visit England, pack two suitcases, one filled with your clothes and one filled with sandwiches. Why is English food so bad?
I think English food is very practical. So England is kind of just like this cold, rocky island in the middle of the sea. So the food, it's really about it being kind of stodgy, keeping you warm, keeping you full, rather than like a culinary experience.
Stodgy.
Yes. I like that word.
Me too.
Because we don't have that word over here.
I'm just going to get that down.
Write down that word, Carolina, stodgy, and I'll use it in my speech tomorrow at the community center.
I didn't know, but you, okay.
It's in my book. It's in the calendar.
Okay, I got it.
Yep. Do you ever drink mead or ale?
Ooh, both.
Yes.
Regularly. When I turned 30, I decided I was going to get into stout.
Stout. Now that's the heavier of the beers, right?
What did you call him?
Stout.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you bullying me right now?
I haven't drunk any stout today.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm very professional.
Oh, yes. Now, mead is a alcoholic beverage. It is considered a beer, or is it?
It's considered a beer regularly drunk out of a horn.
And there's chunks of flesh in it?
No flesh.
Oh.
Just good, good.
So it's not like a soupy broth?
No.
Okay.
No. Nothing like a soupy broth, actually.
I know Harry Potter is a movie, right? That's a given.
Yes, we got that.
It's, in fact, it's a wonderful movie. One of the reviews I read said it was stodgy.
You read? Okay.
That's how good it is.
I can't believe you read those reviews.
Carolina, you know I read all the movie reviews.
I know. I just feel like Harry Potter, it's like reading the book review for Harry Potter.
Anyway, so Harry Potter, it's a movie, but some of the magic has to be real, you know? It just has to be. I mean, what do you think? Do most people carry wands in England in case of an emergency?
No. English people are very sensible. There's really no magic. I definitely don't think people carry wands.
Right.
Although our passports do have unicorns on them, so there is that.
Okay.
Well, those are conflicting.
Because a unicorn is a magical creature.
Exactly.
Do you go? I know in the English countryside there are the old fox and hound, the fox runs where you hunt for foxes. Do they ever hunt for unicorns? Is that why it's on the passport?
There's no unicorn hunt to my knowledge. No, I think they stick mostly to fox hunting.
Okay.
Because the first thing I do when I visit London is I order a unicorn steak and get a big. A flagon of mead.
Ron just read the Harry Potter books and loved them, as we all did.
Loved them.
I know.
Loved them.
I know. But
Hogwarts. There is a word that the English use. How do I get into this? Just dive in, Ron. It starts with a C and rhymes with punt.
Oh, we said we weren't going to ask this. Okay, sorry.
Is it okay for Americans to use it?
Promise me you will never use that word.
I'm just asking, because you go, you know, you walk around the streets of London, and it's you hear it every five seconds.
It does get used liberally, but it's still okay for Londoners to use it because they have that accent.
So why can't we use it here? Not that I want to use it. I'm just more of a sociological linguistic study.
I think the official answer would just be like, it isn't anyone else's to take. It's a very specific.
Yeah.
Ron, you called me that yesterday when I was late.
No, but I said, let's imagine we're in England.
Right.
And you were late.
I know.
So therefore, it was legal in a way. I shouldn't have called you that. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. The movie American Werewolf in London was quite a hit. Did it cause mass hysteria in the streets of London?
I think even though it was a movie, people could tell a difference. So no hysteria and no reported sightings of werewolves in London or elsewhere in England.
Oh, so there was not the werewolf sightings didn't increase by 300%, because that's the research I had done.
No. One time in my hometown, there was a rat that was as big as a dog.
Right.
Maybe that was confused.
Maybe people thought the giant rat was a werewolf.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, I want you to be honest with me. Is this a good British accent? And I can take criticism and just be as brutally honest as you need to be.
I'm the son of a sailor, I am, and I live in foggy London town.
That is not a good British accent.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe say more, because that one was, we couldn't even pick that up really well.
I'm the son of a sailor, I am, and I live in foggy London town.
Yeah.
You would not get into Downton Abbey with that kind of.
By the way.
We'll keep working on it.
Downton Abbey? Oh. Why did they end it? It could have gone on forever as far as I was concerned.
There's going to be a movie.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Will they have wands?
I don't think there's a magical element to Downton Abbey. It's very serious. It's very accurate.
I found it so fascinating, and I think we'll always be interested in how the other half lives. Right?
Right. Meaning, like, downstairs.
Yes. Between the rich people and the working class.
Right.
I mean, they pull their pants on one leg at a time just as everyone else does. right?
Yeah, no, that's beautiful.
I live in Downton Abbey, I do. Next stop, Downton Abbey.
That one's better.
I think I'm getting better.
I think it needs work.
Here's a political question. Are you happy that England let America go?
I mean, I think given the distance between England and America, they were already quite separate. Yeah, so.
But there is a part of every British subject who rues the day. When July 4th comes around, they're like, oh, gosh.
And we're just celebrating.
And we're eating corn on the cob and lighting fireworks that the Brits aren't like, oh, we let that one get away.
We have our own firework day on the 5th of November. So
well, it's not a competition.
I mean, we're kind of over it.
You don't have to yell at me. Are those your real teeth?
These are my real teeth.
Now, you have wonderful teeth.
These are actually my baby teeth. I don't know if it's a British thing, but I've only ever had one set of teeth. They could fall out at any minute.
Ron!
That's so crazy.
Ron only has his baby teeth.
I only have my baby teeth.
Wow, maybe you are British. Maybe this,
these are
this
my
is
baby
some
teeth.
DNA. Wow, yeah, me too.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. Hmm. What are you doing after the show?
I'm sorry, let's just keep going.
Okay. They referred to Margaret Thatcher, former prime minister, as the Iron Lady. But the Iron Lady was just a title she got from her strong leadership. There's no part of her that's made of iron. Like, she didn't have like an iron implant put in her leg or anything like that.
That's a good question. No, I don't think there was any part
it was just
of that was made of metal.
You're right.
More like she had metal. She was a strong
But you man. Said that's a good question, so we don't know for sure.
I haven't seen an x-ray of Margaret Thatcher.
Should we? But is that something people are talking about in England, to give her a full body scan to make sure she doesn't have parts of iron in her body?
I haven't seen that being discussed, but you do raise an interesting question.
Till now, it hasn't been discussed. It
hasn't been discussed. Well, it's called good journalism. It's what it's called. Yeah. Thank you so much. This was just a simply fascinating discussion. I think you've answered almost all the questions I had. Caroline, did you have anything?
You know what? The girl from New Zealand needs a ride home.
To New Zealand? Sure.
Oh!
No. I don't think... unless there's a bridge that goes there. It's 11,000 miles. Come on.
She just needs a ride to Toluca yeah. Lake.
Got it. No problem. Practically the same anyway.
That would be amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back after this important announcement. Well, Carolina, that was a fascinating show. Let's do our fact check. How did we do?
Okay, Stonehenge.
Right.
Stonehenge is actually how it's pronounced. No D.
What did I say?
Stonehenge.
Oh, I put
like
a D.
Unhinged.
Stonehenged.
So it's Stonehenge.
That's not the way you say it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then I just we've poked some holes in the rattlesnake story, so we just want to get more.
Okay, I think we covered it.
Okay.
Very good. As my mother would say, all in all, not bad. This is Ron Burgundy reminding you that only you can prevent forest fires. Unless there is lightning that strikes a remote part of the wilderness, and then it's all the animals' fault for failing to be vigilant. Until next time, so long, everybody. Stay tuned for scenes from the next episode of the Ron Burgundy Podcast.
On the next Ron Burgundy Podcast.
So many broadcasters feel the need to fill every moment with mindless chatter. That is not the Burgundy style. Here, I'll show you what I mean. The Ron Burgundy Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio Podcast Network and Funny or Die. I'm Ron Burgundy. I'm the host, writer, and executive producer. Carolina Barlow is my co-host, writer, and producer. The show is also produced by Whitney Hodak, Jack O'Brien, Miles Gray, and Nick Stump. Our executive producer is Mike Farah. Our consulting producer is Andrew Steele. Our associate producer is Anna Hosnier. Our writer is Jake Fogelis. Our production supervisor is Colin McDougall. This episode was engineered, mixed, and edited by Nick Stumpf. See you next Thursday on the Ron Burgundy Podcast.